Chapter 5. You are not alone. Life as a single person at the age of 22 was a little different. I worked a 70-hour week with two jobs, lived with two cats in a flat in Bedford, England, and I eventually started to make ends meet. I was learning to stand on my own two feet and make steady progress day by day. It was great to flex that I can do this muscle. So what next? I worked with a great team of people at the body shop and had a fabulous boss. One of the highlights of this time was going to Brighton to the head office and meeting Anita Roddick in person. Wow, was she an inspiration. I loved her heart for people, blended with her creative capacity and her desire to make the world a better place. She wasted nothing, literally. She sowed so many good seeds into me in this season. Anita taught me how to reuse, refill, and recycle, to make use of all that is in your hand. I chuckle now as my grandparents would keep the reuse or repurpose anything and everything. Living through wartime restrictions taught them to utilize everything, to steward what they had well. And here was Anita doing that at a whole new level. Anita owned the first company to refill their bottles in store, reuse and recycle them, and the first to sell reusable cotton shopping bags for a pound. I still have them as my shopping bags, 30 years on. She taught me to have faith and keep going. She never gave up. She reminded me of Winston Churchill and his most famous misquoted speech, "Never, never, never give up." She had many business learnings where her ideas or enterprises fell over. She would get back up, dust herself off, and carry on. I highly recommend her book, Body and Soul. She taught me to work collaboratively for good. This beautiful, fiery, passionate lady was always brimming with ideas, and she loved her travel into the outbacks. Her heart for Indigenous people was massive. Her burning desire to use what she had and to pioneer fair trade was outstanding. She worked tirelessly to make things happen. However, she did not do it alone. Her husband was her anchor and shield. He was the accountant for the business and kept her grounded, saying no when needed. He was often the voice of reason, and together they made a great team. I continue to use Body Shop products to this day because I know they are all sourced directly from the producers, where they are paid well and looked after. No testing on animals. That was another massive campaign during our time. Anita used the platform of her shops to campaign and get the word out. The shop fronts would become massive billboards for human rights or animal protection, or for the environment, to open people's eyes and ears to what was going on in the big, wide world. This was a powerful time for me as I loved the message, the product, the people, and the culture. I was truly blessed. Then I was headhunted for the first time. A recruiter for an international clothing company saw me in store. He approached me to have a chat with them. I had grown immensely in my 3 years with Body Shop International. I was grateful for my time there. I was ready for a new chapter and season. A healthy pay rise and a room for growth. I was off. I rented my flat out and rented another property in Cambridge. Job done. Working for this company was an interesting experience. I met some super cool people. I wore some great clothes and I was physically fit. I was happy in my own skin, with the life I was creating. My debt to Dad was paid off, the mortgage was now covered, and I was managing my finances well, saving as well as investing. Single but unavailable. During this time, my brother Richard phoned me to tell me he was going skiing in Courchevel in France for a week with some mates. I asked him if I could join them. Richard had always been the life and soul of the party, and I had always been the worker. This was a great opportunity for me to have some fun. Little did I know that being the only single female out of 64 guests, I would be hit on by different ski guides every night at dinner. They had to sit with the guests at night, and apparently the seat next to me was hot. I learnt a new phrase, yes, I'm single but unavailable. I learnt to ski and had fun. On the bus home, I told Richard I liked Alexander. He said, that's just typical of you, Sal. You've had all week to get it together, and now you're on your way home, and you'll never see him again. I got back to work, and it was coming up to Valentine's Day, so I sent him a Valentine's card without my name and thanked him for sorting out the skidooing for me, an extra activity on top of the skiing. Alexander had gone over and above to organise a ride on the back of the instructor's bike. I hoped this would help him remember who I was. Alexander then went through all the questionnaires that each person had completed at the end of their holiday to match the handwriting, found mine, along with my contact details, and gave me a call. We chatted a few times, and he invited me back out to join the team at the end of the ski season for a week. It was great. There were no customers. It was purely the staff wrapping up the season, getting everything cleaned up, skiing every day with a few drinks and social times, before heading off in their separate directions. At the end of the week, he decided to come to Cambridge and be a river guide for the summer, turning down his work at Gleneagles in Scotland. He had been alternating between golf in the summer and skiing in the winter. Freely given, freely receive. I really enjoyed the summer. I saved my annual leave to do three separate trips to Courchevel the following season. I sent Alexander off with new bedding, clothes and food supplies, then sent parcels and letters weekly. Those boarding school days set me up for success here. Funny, as I write this, I remember again the experience of joy of giving. How much fun it was finding things to send, wrapping them up and sending them with love. Blessed to be a blessing. This beautiful thread has run through all my life. Freely given to freely give. I really enjoy blessing him at this time, giving him everything he needed to have a really comfortable and special season. My life was great. A good friend of mine in London and I were the only combo managers in the country running two stores and two teams. The company had decided that where the adults and kids stores were next to each other, they would have one manager across the two sites and teams. We were it. I had an amazing winter, working 4 to 5 weeks at a time, and then having a week's holiday to go skiing and repeating the pattern three times, once with 2 weeks stint in the middle. It was gold. My skiing improved no end. I loved the local people in Courchevel, the food, the stunning scenery, and the lifestyle. I had a new female regional manager at work. I remember being warned, you won't last long, she won't like you. She always gets rid of the pretty ones. I thought this was quite odd. The story in my head was, I'm not pretty, and she's the one with it all together and in charge. Looking back, I realised that she had open wounds. Power was her security, and anything threatening her security would be taken out. Being the prettiest, the wisest, and the one in charge who everyone looked up to was key for her. So this Yorkshire lass, who says it how it was, pioneering a combo manager setup and off skiing every month was not her favourite manager. It took her a further 6 months to find my faults and have me out of the company on a technicality. You will always find what you are looking for. And she did. Back to my roots. I was called to a meeting in London at head office to be told I had not followed policies and procedures. I was not dotting the I's and crossing the T's. That this was high risk for an international business and the leader of the team. This was a dismissible offence. I was not allowed to go back to the store. I had absolutely no idea this was going to be the tone or the outcome of the meeting. I was expecting at most a warning. It was a technicality, and this was the first time I'd stepped out of line in any way. I got home in shock, and I rang my dad. I was in tears. Dad, I've lost my job. I can't pay my rent. Can I come home? Bless him. I had not lived with him since I was 10 years old, and I hadn't spent much time, with my stepmum, Christine. They welcomed me with open arms. Within 24 hours, my belongings were packed. My dad and my brother arrived, like an army, with a hired van, picking out all my gear up. I cleaned the house and popped the key and a note in the landlord's letterbox, explaining the situation, leaving him my contact details and instructing him to use my deposit to cover my last month's rent. I got in my car with the cats and said goodbye to my time down south. While not being able to say goodbye to my team or collect my personal belongings from the office was personally devastating, it was the birth of a new chapter, and it began some incredible restoration. It was time to go home, which I had yearned for. I felt I had done my time in London and down south and had been feeling a real need to go back to my roots. I left devastated. I found out later that this particular regional manager was asked to leave the company within 12 months after losing three more of her managers. What goes around comes around. What the enemy meant for evil, God will always turn into good. In chapter 1, we looked at flipping negatives into positives, switching lies for truth. In chapter 2, we looked at how to release and let go and ask for the great exchange. Chapter 3 is about being your future self now by dreaming big and starting with the end in mind. Chapter 4 is one of my biggest table flippers in Keys to the Kingdom. Perfect love casts out all fear. And life is another step to freedom. Now is the time to look and see how teamwork makes the dream work. I was so busy people-pleasing, I took my eye off the ball. Systems and processes are essential to keeping things running smoothly. Just like the principles in the kingdom, there is an order to everything. When things are out of alignment or out of order, it skews things and can take us down a destructive path. I was once again looking for love in all the wrong places. My identity was external, and at this stage of my life, not internal. It felt good when I connected with others, and that is what fed me. Sadly, it is also what led me to my downfall. Because my need to be liked, to feel connected, overrode my responsibilities. So I avoided all the policies and procedures as they didn't give me any dopamine hit. My time in the office would always be trumped by time on the floor with the team and customers. I still had a lot to learn, in life as well as in business. I was only thinking of myself, how amazing I was to be headhunted. I was pioneering a new role as a combo manager, running the two stores as one, and saving my holidays and saving my in-lieu days so I could spend 5 weeks skiing in Courchevel. I really did think I was quite special. I was making good money and was so much better off than those who had gone to university. I was self-centered, ignorant, and naive, living my own invincible world. And pride comes before a fall. And here was the fall. Everything I'd worked so hard for, which my identity at the time had been dependent on, had been stripped away in one meeting in London. And I hadn't seen it coming. It's funny. I knew in my gut that things weren't right. However, I didn't listen to my own intuition. It wasn't until I coached with Lynette Breen in 2017 that I learned that this was a gift, something to listen to rather than ignore. Dear reader, we don't do life alone. In this chapter, I had people ahead of me, like Anita, to inspire me. I had my dad and my brother to pick me up in my time of need. And I had a collaborator in my buddy combo manager, and I had a crew who were all enjoying a season skiing in Courchevel. Writing this book and doing the work I do now has allowed me to see things in a different light. I always felt alone, like no one cared, that I was just another number, lacking real value in myself and therefore lacking value in those around me. The reality is I was never alone. God was always with me, even if I didn't see it or acknowledge it at the time. I always had the right people around me at the right time, and things always worked out for good, even when I didn't look like it or feel like it. I thought if it was meant to be, it was up to me. I thought I should know what to do and how to do it. However, we are better together. I remember an amazing lady and dear friend of mine talking to me about lanes. We all have a lane that we are uniquely designed to win in. My lane is to get people going in their lane, to set them up for their own personal success so they can make a real difference in the world around them, being exceptionally value, adding value, winning the race with others and leaving a legacy. I thought I could and was meant to do everything. I was trying to be all things to everyone. Instead of running with others in my lane and them in theirs, I was tripping them up and holding them back. I see us all running a race together, being in the same race, yet in our own lanes, all looking ahead to win the prize. I'm reminded of the men's 400-meter hurdles at the Tokyo Olympics, where 5 out of 6 of the lanes broke Olympic, world, or country records, all in the same race. When we run with good people, we achieve far more than we could ever imagine. I encourage you to look back over your life to date and write down all the people who have sown into you, who have been there for you, who have run with you, supported you, or inspired you. Call to adventure. Team. Together, everyone achieves more. Or, as an African proverb says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go with others. Thank you, Teresa Cook, for sharing this wisdom and insight. Time is not linear. We get one life here. So many start. However, it is how we finish that counts. Another beautiful saying is, in the end, it's not the years in your life that count. It's the life in your years. This was attributed to Abraham Lincoln. I really encourage you to do as I have done in the first few chapters and reflect on who has brought you joy in your life. Many may well no longer be with us. However, the smile they put on our faces as we remember their warmth, love, or encouragement is not bound by their physical presence. It is held in your heart by their love. Take a moment or two this week to pause and think about those who have poured into you. I have such happy memories of Francis, a good friend at primary school, who I've lost contact with. It may bring you a few tears, especially if they are no longer here, like my dad. Maybe there was a teacher at school who always looked out for you, encouraged you, and saw the best in you. I still have fond memories of Mrs. B, my textiles and dress teacher, and Duke of Edinburgh ward leader. By reflecting and seeing them for who they were and what they blessed me with, it allows me to see more and trains my mind to look for the blessings in the future. Like we did in Chapter 3 with the High Five, I have a Super 7 that helps us focus our mind on people who have supported us in the past, present, and future. Super 7. The first one is faith. Thinking about your spiritual, you know, who has been there spiritually for you, physically for you, mentally for you. Family. These can be extended family and super close friends, as they are the family that we choose. Just pause for a moment and think about or write down who those people have been. Or maybe we've got friends. You know, this could be from all times in your life, whether you're in touch with them now or not. These are friends in the past, the present, and the future. Who would you like to be a really good friend in the future? And then school and education. These can be teachers, they can be mentors, they could have actually been somebody in business who's really walked with you, who's sown into you, who's given you wisdom. It's all about education and learning. So where have you really learned? Where have you really grown? Who have those people been? And then work. They are your business mentors or your colleagues. You know, who's been in your peer group? Who's been that manager that's always given you the opportunity, or the CEO who's always seen the good in you and allowed you to speak at meetings? And then fun. That's your sports, your leisure, your hobbies, your interests. You know, these could be when you are in musical theatre, or I've got a beautiful friend right now who's about to be the vicar in The Vicar of Dibley. That's fun. You know, who's been there for you in those fun times? Who's sewn into you as a hockey coach or whatever it might have been for you? And then I've got another slot called Other. For those people who didn't fit into any of those, you know, they weren't necessarily a good friend or a family member, or maybe they weren't somebody who had a strong faith, but they were just there for you. Who were they? I passionately believe that God places the right people around us in every season of our lives, at the right time, when we need them. Some are for a reason, some are for a season, some are for life. All of them are a blessing and a joy to be cherished yesterday, today, and tomorrow. This is another key. Remembering those who have poured love, encouragement, wisdom, and invested time and energy into my life brings the same feelings back now in the present. Having hope for a future of who is going to be walking with me in the next season of my life brings me peace, rest, excitement, and joy into the present. Enjoy. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Psalm 23, verse 4, NIV.